Hallo julle.
Ek voel ek het laas keer gepraat met almal. Ja, so gaan Afrikaans praat. Al die Engels mense ek sal later vir julle verduidelik. So ja, die Here het regtig, ons 'n bietjie terug aan die mense. Ja, die Here het regtig die afgelope 2 jaar baie in my hart kom werk en al my hardkoppigheid en my eie wil en maar dit het my vanoggend vertel van Wian wat gepraat het oor die nuwe wyn. En dit was my besonders gewees, want op ons troudag, ek en Marnus het, want ons het laas jaar 18 maart, ek het ingestap op 'n baie vreemde, nie traditionele liedjie nie, en die liedjie se naam was New Wine. En ek kon nie verstaan, en ek het saam met, ek en Marnus het ons huweliksvoorbereiding gedoen saam met Albertus en Melkbos, en ek het die een dag, toe sê hy vir ons, okay, weet wat is die plan, kom ons praat oor die dag, en ek sê toe vir my, ek wil uit die liedjie inloop. Die dominee kyk vir my soos, okay. En ek gaan net die woorde vinnig lees. Dit sê, in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. En ek het nie die dag besef wat ek gesê het, toe ek al afgeloop het nie. En ek voel regtig die Here is besig om daai nuwe wyn, het hy nou gemaak. En ek sê vir Marnus die hele week, elke dag as ek opstaan sê ek, voel jy anders? Dan sê hy ja, dan sê ek, ek ook. En ja, die Here het regtig wonderlike dinge gedoen. So, ja, ek vir almal wat nou, jy weet, wik en weeg, moet ek dit doen, moet ek dit nie doen nie, doen dit, vertrou die Here, en ja, dit is regtig wonderlik wat die Here kan doen, as jy surrender aan hom, as jy alles oorgee, jou hele lewe, alles, en ook dit wat hy doen aan jou, dit wat mens dra, die hoeveelheid swaar goed wat jy dra, en die klippe wat jy in jou sak, saam met jou dra, en dit voel amper, vir my persoonlik het die doop gevoel, die Here het gesê, Linnie, jy hoef dit nie meer te dra nie, ek vat het van jou. So ja, prys die Here vir sy goedheid, prys die Here vir sy getrouheid, en ja, ons is baie opgewonde oor die toekoms, en al die, jy weet, skuur wat gaan gebeur. Ja, wil jylle eerst vraag? Dames, want jy gaan
vraag. Dat ook het.
Maar dis nou baie vreemd, maar dit vir die gewoon nie doen. In geval, sy het omtrent alles gesê, dis wonderlik, is regtig 'n baie groot voorreg om op hierdie ouderdom hierdie dinge te doen, maar dit voel so goed, die Here was saam met ons en ons het soveel mense om dankbaar te voor te sê vir wat hulle vir ons hier tot hier gebring het, en dit is net wonderlik, die voorreg en saam met sulke wonderlike mense is op so'n mooi plek wat ons dit gedoen het, so moet nie bang wees hier, dit gebeur en dit kan nog gebeur op hierdie ouderdom.
Ja, I want to say something about this. I'm really nervous now. No, on the mic. It was such a great honor to be there with all my family. They are starting again. And it was such a blessing to be baptized in this young couple. Yeah. Were there to help us along, and you all such wonderful family.
All right, Marnus, will you say? Yes. Come on, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Once more, just Linnie and I reflected on this week, we're so filled with gratitude for how this past 2 years the Lord's really been working in us. And we went, as the song said, as Lindy said, through the crushing, through the pressing. And as we reflected building up actually before the camp, we were like, oh, the Lord's really working in us. And we can feel that. And it's, our boundaries were being pushed already, and we were being placed out of our comfort zones. And then we were asking ourselves the week before the camp, why is this happening? Like, why? What's the Lord doing within us? What's the purpose of it? And then at the camp, we were like, okay, we see now what the Lord's been doing. And it's been such a joy to reflect on the camp and the few months leading up to the camp and to see what the Lord's been doing in our lives and what we're excitingly looking forward to what we can do to contribute to the kingdom through what the Lord has been doing with us. And it's making us excited, but also a little bit nervous as to, you know, our boundaries have been pushed. So we're looking forward to having our boundaries pushed more, but all for glorifying his kingdom, not for glorifying us. So it's been an absolute privilege to journey with all of you and to build intentional relationships, especially on the camp, with the people who we haven't interacted with as much before. So a heart of gratitude goes out to all of you. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Let's pull up some of the those, and you too, Antoinette, don't you want to come stand? Yeah, come on now. I know you don't like talking, but you do like talking when you talk. Okay, all right. And Cameron, what about you too, my bud? Come on. There we go. Give it to them. Shall we give it to the? Yeah. There we go. Shall we start with you, in the middle?
I didn't know if I would be able to come. That's why I didn't volunteer. So, okay, I think a lot happened at the camp. Different things, like my relationship with Lindy. We had something that was just like chilling under the ground, and how we saw things differently and couldn't really come to a conclusion as to how do we go forward and how do we like really, yeah, become a strong friendship. We do have a really strong, it's more like family, really. But how do we go forward without breaking each other down? And so that was kind of underlying. So on Friday night, that was what was holding me back, was that thing where I knew I had to go and we had to solve this, but I don't think either of us really knew how anymore. We were like, we don't know what to do now. We just end up at the same place, like frustrated and not knowing what to do, how to go forward. And before the camp, the Lord actually gave me a couple of verses, and basically both of them said, speak the truth in love. And so I was like, okay, so we've been talking and talking and saying the same things and not really resolving anything. And then on Saturday morning, every time we have communion, we fight before. Every time. Every single time. So we'll be like, fine, 2 days before. I'm like, yes, okay, someone said we're doing communion on Sunday. I can have communion without having to go to someone and be like, I'm sorry. And so when you said we're having communion on Saturday, I was like, okay, yada, fine. So I sat through, we prayed. I prayed with Yanka, and I was like, can't have my communion again. I have to talk to Lindy before. But it was absolutely amazing, because when we did have a chat, I think so many things came up, and it was insane, because right after we watched the accountability session that started with Andrew going, speak the truth in love with that verse, and almost absolutely everything we spoke about after communion. So that was an incredible confirmation. And we had a chat about a ton of things, and I think we really resolved it. Like, I really felt peace, and it was incredible. And then at the end, I've never told them to get baptized. I've spoken to Mike once, and he said, I'm just waiting for them to get baptized. And it wasn't really something I was pushing them for or walking with them. And then at the end of the conversation, just came up, and I said, Lindy, I think you need to get baptized because you're carrying so much stuff with you, and I really feel like this is the step that will be the only resolution to carrying all this heavy stuff. And left it at that. We all went, watched the video, and then I got dressed, and I was like, maybe I'm going into the water, but I wasn't even thinking about it. And when I came out, I saw them giggling, and I knew it. And what an incredible moment to go with family. And Sunday morning was so special for me as well, when everyone encouraged me and prayed over me, and it was like the Lord instilling like deeper identity in me. And a new confidence, and was so really grateful.
No, ladies.
You said it was easy, Cameron. I just really want to read a Bible verse in the Bible.
Okay, just open up there too. No, just the one word. Sorry, guys. Isaiah 40, it's right here. Sorry, guys. Okay, yeah. All right, so this morning when we were driving here to Azmontane, I saw like all the flowers, and I was thinking of this verse now, and it's also written in a song called Glory. So the verse says, it's Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So I think we're heading into a season now where we see the beautiful flowers, but there's also going to be a season where the flowers is going to fade eventually. But we just have to be reminded that his word stands forever. So one of the reasons why I wanted to come up here and was supported by Corneille to share a bit of my experience with the camp that we had last weekend. So I was sitting in my room and I was like doing Bible study, and I just heard the wind like going against the building. And I know I'm reading my Bible now, but I really want to just Google how is wind created. So I said, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to go on my phone now. I'm going to disrupt the Bible time. And I Googled it, and it was like a short little like message, not a message, but a sort of description of how wind is created. And basically what happens is the air above the above the ocean takes longer to heat up than the air above the land. And when air gets heated up, it lifts up, it rises, and then there's a space that is filled. So then new air moves into that space. So it's kind of like a reminder that, well, the Lord revealed it to me only the next day when we had like prayer meeting on Friday, that as we are hungry for him, we heat up, we rise. It's a byproduct of the sun, the wind, and we bring more people in that's cold into our space for them to heat up above the land. So I feel like that was just a great testimony that he revealed to me through the body of Christ as well. Thank you.
Okay, so with my testimony, I actually got kind of inspired with what, almost what, madness, I don't know why I forgot your name there, but yeah, just about bringing things to the light, and I think you brought that on Friday night, or when is it? Saturday, yeah. Okay, yeah, so then I got kind of inspired by that, also just bringing things to the light, but I'll talk about that another time. I think the one I want to talk about is the worship. On Friday night, we were having worship, and while we were going through this whole session, Mike just said, like, I think, you know, some people have lead in their feet, like they're just locked, they just can't move. And the moment he said that, I just got so locked, I was like, I think this is me. You know, I really felt that, and I just couldn't move, I couldn't move at all. So in that case, I was disobedient. Ruan, he's not here this morning, but he also said the same thing, being disobedient, like, you know you had to move, but he just didn't do it. And then, anyway, the next day, Saturday, I went for a run, and I don't normally do that, but that morning I wanted to. And I was running, and I ran up this hill, and like when I got to the top, I was completely out of breath. And then I got to the bench, and I sat down, and I lay down, and I was like, just words came in my head, and they were like, you can run until you're completely out of breath, but you won't break a sweat when you worship. Yeah, and then the next thing that came to my mind was, where's your priorities? Like, what's more important, honestly? A quick run? Or maybe worshiping and actually putting some effort in? I'm terrible. Like, I'm not really a good example with that, but I want to get better, and I feel like I am getting there. Yeah, just a quick story about yesterday. My mates bought me a surprise ticket to go watch the game, which is pretty cool. But I had to catch an Uber to go to the stadium, and I sat there and I was ordering one off my phone. And this one guy canceled. Okay, actually, just before that, I actually prayed about it. Like, hey, I really want to talk to this Uber driver on the way there, because it's a nice opportunity to talk about the Lord and whatnot. And then, so I ordered an Uber. This one, like, failed. I had to cancel it. I ordered another one. This one changed to a different vehicle, and eventually I got the right one. At the time, I was just kind of irritated. I was like, okay, why is this doing this? I'm wasting time. And then eventually, a car came in, I got in the car, and I was like, oh, this is why. Like, I actually spoke to this really, really awesome gentleman. His name was Peter. Awesome guy. The moment I sat in the car, I was like, I know he knows the Lord. So we're just driving down the road, having like normal chit-chat. And then I was just like, hey, which church do you go to? You know, because you can just have that connection. You can just feel like he knows Jesus. You know that. So, like, you know, I just sat there. We just had such an awesome conversation. Like, almost wish we had more traffic on the way there. Yeah, but it's just really nice to meet people that know the Lord, and you can have that feeling and the connection. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
And just while they are getting their hearts ready to share, there may be some of you that also like to share, and I haven't really specifically brought you out, but you can. Julle twee wat daar agter sit, julle moet ook reg wees. Okay, there we go. We're going to get you to share in a moment, and then those two down the back there. All right, but let them go first. Thanks.
Thank Thank you. On Friday evening at a camp, we had worship session, and before that we watched the session from Andrew on worship, and I decided in my heart that I just want to give my everything, and I enjoyed worship so much, even though some of the others felt like they couldn't move forward or couldn't go. I just gave of myself, and then during the night, on Friday evening during the night, I had a dream, and I never, very rarely get a dream when I wake up that I remember something, but it was so evident in that moment while I was dreaming that the Lord was speaking to me. And I saw, the dream was about, we were having time together as a family, maybe, and then there was this Olympic trampoline jumper that was in our midst, and he was jumping like crazy high, and we all were so amazed at how high he can jump. He was like 6 meter high in the air, and we asked him, so what do you do? How do you jump this high? No, he just says, no, what I do is I need to set myself a standard on the height so that I know when I jump, that I know that I reached the correct height. And so what I do is I put a mirror on the wall, and when I get to jump that high, I can see myself in the mirror, then I know I'm on the right height. But every time I look at myself in the mirror, then I repeat the Lord's words to me that says, I love you and you are chosen. And it was so, the dream was just so clear that the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, but I chose you and I love you. And everyone here, everyone on the camp, everyone here now, the fact that you are here means that you are chosen and that he loves you. And he extends his hand towards you, and he asks, take my hand. You are chosen. You are chosen to jump high. You are chosen. And I love you. So, yeah, that's...
I just have such a big smile on my face because it really just echoes what I want to share this morning. Was also on the worship time. I don't know who all saw me in worship, but I was jumping, like going crazy for the Lord. And we were just doing worship, and Stacey shared a word, and then Bobby went into worship after that. And then I just, this joy came over me. And it was the same when the day Matt proposed to me. I was jumping. I was like, oh! And that's how I felt when I was worshiping. I had this joy, and I was laughing. And I always hear what people say. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They start laughing, and I experienced that. And it was so, so awesome. And then Tammy says she saw me for 1 second, and the next second I was gone. I was on the floor. And I was just, like, overwhelmed with the Lord. And I just was lying on the floor, and I just was crying and saying, thank you, Lord, that I got to experience you. And it was such an awesome experience, and that I was just saying thank you, that he actually revealed himself to me in that moment. And I jumped for joy, and I really also, also on the camp after that, while walking around on the campsite, I just couldn't keep it in. I just wanted to sing praises to the Lord. And that when Henry shared, I think it was Henry, that the rocks, was it you? Oh, I can't remember who it was, that the rocks will, if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out, Miriam. And that's how, and it really flowed back into the house this weekend. And I was reading another psalm. I couldn't find it this morning, but I felt to read this section. I'll read from verse 8, Psalm 66. Oh, bless our God, you peoples,
and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. So being refined is a blessing, as Marnus and Lindy said. You laid afflictions on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet smell, sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. Well, the Psalms is full of this about giving the praise back to him, and that's what he deserves, is our praise. He deserves at least that. Yeah.
Quick. What's quick?
Quick. About 15 minutes. No, I'm joking. No, I just, this week for us, because we're still living in Sunningdale, I said to Melissa, we felt so disconnected from what had happened on the weekend, you know, because we aren't close enough to draw people in, you know, and get to know people more. And it's this thing. I even went to the Lord and said, Lord, have I backslidden, you know, checking my heart and everything. But I want to encourage you, no matter how big or small your testimony is, how small it is, bring it. Because that small testimony changes somebody's life. That small testimony is a stepping stone of somebody saying, yo, if that can happen, Lord, can you do something in my life? And it's just sharing it. And through that, God is able to move. And if you listen, and I want to just say this, if Michal let me. He chatted to me on Sunday, and he says, you know, all I do is I play the cajon. And I said, no, it's not all you do. I said, because when you play it, there is something that you are bringing of the presence of God. There's something that you are reflecting of your desire and your love for the presence of God, that you want to give him your everything. Whether you can sing or whether you can't, we've been fortunate to see the start of the congregation. You know, people lift their hands. It's, you know, it's those little, like Andrew says, it's that battle. But now people are lifting their hands. There's these little breakthroughs that we need to grab hold of and say, thank you, Jesus, for stepping us forward. Thank you that what I bring, no matter how small it seems to me, is big to him, because we're doing it with everything within our heart.
Beautiful. Well done. Good 15 minutes. Thank you. Calista, I haven't forgotten your name this time. Michal, Inferia, Ernst, Kumile. I know you guys weren't that prepared, but I'm preparing you now. This is it. Cool.
Yeah, what a, a wonderful, precious, amazing weekend. If you were not there, you lost out. Boy, you lost out. And we had the most beautiful setting. Mountains around us. And when I saw the mountains, and I this thought just come up in my heart, and I will say it in Afrikaans. Ek slaan my oë op na die berge. Waar sal my hulp vandaan kom? My hulp is van die Here wat hemel en aarde geskaap het. Dit was 'n ongelooflike naweek. Ons het die heerlikste kos gehad. Ons was bederf tot in die afgrond toe in. Ons het van gehad. een gedeelte wat vir my besonder lekker was, was die gedeelte, who's that baby? En ek het nie besef, daar is een persoon wat regtig na die meeste van al die babietjies gelyk het. Sy naam het gedurig opgekom. Ek, kan jy onthou wie dit was? Ja. So he's a very lovable person. that was just awesome. So, but I sense that during this weekend, God was doing something very special. He was knitting us together. He was equipping us. He was filling us with His Spirit above all. He was renewing us. So that was just awesome. It was something that I will never forget. And I tell you, this is not the last. Many more are coming, and I'm telling you, you must keep your eyes open, keep your ear on the ground, and be there next time.
For those of you, I've mentioned to a few people that we never decided to come to IJsselfontein. IJsselfontein, just, we had to come. We had no option. When our daughter left for New Zealand, the house was here, and we had to come here. Aaron's didn't want to come. I was happy, because I'm the type of person I can be happy anyway. Doesn't matter. But looking back, I now know why we had to come to IJsselfontein, because we've grown up in the church, both of us, being active, had a community group, were community leaders in our church when we were much younger. And then there was a new phase in our lives where Aaron's worked abroad, and when he came home, we went on holidays, and we lived on a farm far from a church. And then we came to IJsselfontein, and there was only an Enge church. So we thought that we were okay on our own. You know, we know what to do. We know the Lord, and it's fine. But when we discovered Josh Jen, we realized that we've actually missed out so much for so long. Nothing can replace that feeling of the community that you find in a church or in a body. I don't want to call it a church, I want to call it a body, the body of Christ, like in Josh Jen. I just found this one. Sorry, I just want to quickly get it. I just Googled one day and said, why is it important to be part of a community? Being together as a church community protects and provides for the body of Christ. It empowers, it equips, and it grows us. You know, if you're on your own and you can serve the Lord how much you want, it's not going to be the same. And the devil tried very hard to keep us away from the weekend. I wasn't well. And I know at one stage Aaron said, you know, maybe we should just not go. So I said, no, we're going, you know. And it was so funny that I didn't feel well, but every time there was a meeting, I actually felt better. And I could sit through the whole meeting, and it was fine. I felt very sorry for the people who slept next to us. Because I was coughing at night. And the walls of the rooms were so thin that you had to talk to each other like that. And even then, they heard what you were saying. So the one evening we got from church, and it was 11:30, and Aaron started listening to a preach. And I looked at him and I said, you're not going to listen to another preach now. And the next morning, Shannon said, hi, Aaron, how could you still listen to a preach after? So I just realized it was so, you know, maybe a few secrets came out there that weekend. And Yeah, so it was really, for me, two things was confirmed over the weekend. The first one is you have to belong to a community of like-minded people. Every time when I speak to my grandchildren, I just tell them about the young people in this community. That is just such a blessing for us to see how they serve the Lord and how it's just their everything. And you don't get that. I mean, those of you who live in IJsselfontein and you know all the other young people around, it's very, very, very scarce. So, yeah, that is definitely, and I knew why we had to come to IJsselfontein. And then the second thing is that the Lord spoke to me over the weekend. It started before the weekend that I started, I know that I have to go into a new season in my life. But it was confirmed over the weekend. Those of you that know me a bit better, I like to tick boxes. And specifically in my professional life, I've ticked a lot of boxes. And I realize that I think I've done enough of them now. I think there are some other boxes, some spiritual boxes that I need to start ticking, and for my own personal good and not necessarily to serve the world or serve. Yeah, so that was definitely confirmed to me that, you know, my life will have to take a drastic change, and I've started preparing for it. So watch this space next year.
I just want to mention something else, so you know, you can see about the fun. We had fun, yeah. So, but there's one thing that I still want to mention. It is the young people here. You are a blessing to us. So, I'm so glad to have you as part of our body. Yeah. It's just so nice, so beautiful to just see you love the Lord and praise Him.
Amen. Awesome.
People. So the camp was better than I expected it would be, I can tell you that. Being in Langebaan, it's been challenging sometimes to come through to IJsselfontein. It's the long distance and you feel like, oh, we want Langebaan to happen, a church plant or whatever the case. So we prayed a lot for the right timing, that we wouldn't go ahead of God or just do it in our own thing. But on this camp, it was really amazing, I think, for those of us in Langebaan, and particularly for me and Callista, I think just to really draw in. It's like, yes, in the beginning of the year, I remember speaking to Mike and saying, I really feel God is drawing us to IJsselfontein congregation. We're living in Langebaan now, but we're here for IJsselfontein. And it was just, I think, a good reminder for us that when we were there in this last weekend, that we're drawing in, and we just want to spend so much time with people here. We wish we had more time, because that camp, like, I didn't get to half the people I wanted to get to have deep conversation, just chatting and getting to know. And so it's a blessing for us to have experienced that and to see how we've come together. And I think one of the other things for me that was challenging was also the Friday after Andrew talked about worship and giving you everything. And yeah, and that Friday, I like having my space when I'm worshiping. I like to wave my arms around and go a bit. But I know that I can do more than that. And it was really challenging for me the Friday, that evening. It felt like we were moving and we were going back. Like we were reaching and then we were going back. We're not fully committed, but then we're sort of flowing and ebbing. And I was just, Lord, I'm sorry. Afterwards, I know I haven't given everything. I'm trying, but I'm still aware of people around me. I can close my eyes, but I'm still thinking of everyone around me. And I want to just focus on you when I'm praising you, because you didn't hold anything back from me. And I think, when we came together on Sunday, it was just such a more freeing experience. Like, we could just do what we felt. It was more free, and just seeing the way that God did that was awesome. It was really a good time for me to see that. And to see others, seeing the Lord working on each one of us, it was so cool. So yeah, it's lovely to be part of this the community here. It's really awesome. I'm just thinking if I should. Yeah, I'm going to share it. Okay. So the Sunday morning, I felt the Lord lead my heart to sing on the microphone, and I didn't want to. I was thinking, it's not comfortable for me. I'm not going to sound good. Why must I do this? And I made all these excuses, and I just was challenged again from what we talked about to really just give everything to the Lord. And so speaking to Bobby afterwards, I said, look, it was hard for me to do that, but I'm glad I did it, because it wasn't about me. It was about what I felt God wanted. And it took a bit of uncomfortableness for me. And I just want to encourage everyone. I think all of us have different levels of what we're comfortable with. But to keep on pushing in, to not hold back, because amongst us here, where else are we going to have this freedom, this safety place to really go for everything? So even if it feels strange, like some people mentioned, to raise your hands or to dance or whatever the case, to just really go for it. We're in a safe space. This is family. Like, it's really becoming in my mind, not just an idea, but it's really becoming in my heart. Like, I look at you guys, and often I'm feeling closer to you than my own blood family. And so that's really just God doing that. Yeah, cool.
Wow. Surely it's been a good time, eh? I know I could literally pick you out, but I'm not going to do that. We can leave it for another time. But is anybody really feeling something they're really pressing want to say? I don't want to end, and you feel disappointed, you know, I'll say. Moiso.
Sorry, hierdie was glad nie van plan nie, maar so wat almal gepraat het, het ek net soos begin ook in my bewe wees van, okay, ek het dalk ietsie om te deel. Maar as jy noodwendig oor die kamp nie, maar ek het actually vir 'n hele lang tyd het ek getrust oor en vir die Here gevra soos wat is my spiritual gift. En dit het alles mee begin oor 'n droom wat ek gehad het waar ek in my droom neergeval het en soos begin skud het, soos as jy gedoop word in die Heilige Gees, ek dink wat jy het genoem word, so jy is soos unconscious in goed en waar Stacy net in die droom en Mike in die droom bid en ek onthou Stacy wat skree op my is van don't fight the spirit, don't fight the spirit. En so van daar af toe het soos op my hart ek soos begin lê soos wanneer gaan ek my tale kry en goed en ek was soos okay, dit is nogal scary want soos wat wanneer jy mos die weerste goed opmaak en wat wanneer is dit net soos dit klink net die reg aan die kant hier en al daai goed en dit was soos 'n hele tyd was ek van okay, maar nou moet ek actually begin trust daarvoor. Ek moet actually nou begin vra vir my tale. En toe was dit ons kom groep gewees en ek het toe met Miriam en Henry gedeel oor dit en hulle sê toe vir my, maar ek moet daai aand met ek huis toe gaan en ek moet bid. Dit was ook 'n storm weer gewees. En ek moet bid en ek moet vertrou vir my om my tale te kry. En ek het toe daai aand my soos twee woorde gekry. Ek sal eintlik deel die eerste woord wat ek gekry het is ek dink is Sheikh wat was soos amper die Here het maar 'n woord gegee en gesê dis soos wanneer daar net soos lig amper uit jou mond uitkom, so every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that I'm Lord. En so toe daar verder af toe begin ek net vir meer goed vertrou. Toe die vraag begin word my wat is my spiritual gift? Hoe wil die Here hê moet ek sy naam verteenwoordig waar ek ook al is? Wat is soos my doel in die kerk? Wat in my swattings? Ek is tussen gebreekte mense. Soos wat is my spiritual gift? En ek soos bid en ek vertrou en ek vertrou nog steeds en ek weet nog nie 100% nie, maar wat ek eintlik wil sê van die kamp was, is ek onthou, ek en Tannie Miriam het gebid, of sy het ook net a vision gekry en vir my begin bid, want sy het ook geweet, is iets waar ek vertrou, en sy het begin bid daarvoor, en ek het net begin huil, soos ek het net,
en ek hou nie van, kyk, ek love het om te huil, maar ek love het jou voor mense te huil nie. Dis baie lekker in my kar of in my kamer alleen, maar net nie voor mense nie. En ek begin net huil, en Mike begin ook bid oor spiritual gifts en alles, en ek sê soos van, joh. En ek onthou Tannie Miriam het gesê, soos sy voel, die Here het vir haar gesê, dat my, wat van as my spiritual gift is, is om in die hospitaal, jy vang, die caring, hospitality in die hospitaal uit te kan leef. En ek het actually soos daar begin, soos ook dink, en ek soos van, hierdie gratis, ja, dit is moeilik. En dit het my op my tone, en ek huil een keer een week van alles, en ek is moeg, en dit is het uitputtend. Maar toch is ek nog sterk daarin, en ek hou, ek byt vas. En toe die dinsdag, toe ek in die hospitaal gewerk het, in die vakantie, dit was een van die lekkerste dae gewees in die hospitaal, en dit was net soos van, wat van as dit een van die plekke is, waar die Here wil hê, ek moet 'n verskil maak, want ons allemaal weet, daar is baie verskil wat daar gemaak kan word. So, ja, dis wat ek wil deel.
Ja. Yeah, so special when you see something to God doing something in a person's life, and like you say, sometimes it's just a little something, a little shift, and it just brightens a life. It just lifts up and exalts the name of our Lord. Eh? Isn't that beautiful? So we're going to worship now. Unless there's really somebody who's going to, you want to dance and come give us a dance anyway, but I'm feeling let's worship. Let's give it all. Let's lay it out there before the Lord. Let's not be afraid. You've heard some testimony. And yeah, I've got the stone. And I'm laying the stone down as a remembrance stone of all the things that we did. I'm laying it before the Lord and saying, Lord, this is us. We've come. We bring a stone of remembrance, what you did. And we glorify your name and honor you. Amen. Yeah, and don't be afraid. If you have to move out of your seat, please do. Otherwise, I'll come fetch you. And we love opening up the space. And it's not just because it's kind of like, it sounds weird. It is actually a space where you really feel a liberty to do what you need to do. So don't be afraid. You can come out and stand in the front here with us. We're not going to be embarrassed by you being here. We'd love to have you with us in the front as we worship the Lord.